Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Still recovering, Nick, from a late night Thursday night. But it was a good late night and a huge win for Pitt over West Virginia in the backyard brawl. Welcome to Panthers Insider. I'm Pat Bostic. We're here every Saturday morning, 8 to 9 a.m., all year long, talking Pitt sports. And this week, we're going to recap the backyard brawl, the return of the backyard brawl, the 105th backyard brawl, and it did not disappoint. We'll take your calls today, 412-928-9370. It's 412-928-9370. Calls, questions, concerns, anything you want to talk about, Pitt football related. I'm here for the next hour. And we're going to recap that game. We're going to the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was a lot of good. There was a whole lot of bad, and there was some ugly in that game from a Pitt standpoint. But in the aggregate, I'd say the game was exactly what you would want for the return of a rivalry game like that. There were weird bounces. There were emotional swings. There were momentum swings. There were big plays. There were bad plays. And the crowd was into it. But I think that game proved the power of the rivalry, the power of bringing those two programs back together. And I'm all for that being the opener every single year if it works out. Obviously, without the conference alignment of Pitt and West Virginia, there isn't conference championship implications. So, later in the season would be kind of an odd spot, just from the standpoint of it would kind of fit into that, end of the season rivalry. But that again, when you're talking college football playoff and now an expanded college football playoff, which was announced yesterday, moving to 12 teams in 2026. That game can kind of get lost. It doesn't get lost on Labor Day weekend, I can tell you that. And the 70,622 fans that were in were absolutely lit the whole night. So I love it. I love the game and certainly loved the result. I want to give a shout out to PGT Trucking. We are presented by PGT Trucking. We're driven by Beaver County Automotive. And again, this is Panther Insider. Give me a call, 412-928-9370. We got a call already. Matt from Charlotte, North Carolina. Matt, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thank you for taking my call, Pat, and hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt.
Hey, I was at the game there, and I've never been in a greater college football environment. I live in the South now. My sons go to ACC schools, and but even though I went to Pitt, and I'm a Pitt alum, this culture there Thursday night matched anything I've seen in some of the greatest SEC venues, and just the energy was amazing. So just shout out to all Pitt fans. But the one of the questions they have around our defense is these young linebackers. There was some pretty ugly stuff watching those long runs. And do you think we can get our linebacker situation, get these kids to grow up quick enough before the Tennessee game. Thanks again.
You got it, Matt. Yeah, thanks for the call. That's part of the bad, and Pat Narduzzi would say it's part of the ugly of this game. It was giving up 190 yards on the ground, and it was really 219 without sack yardage. I mean, there were some gaping holes. The Donaldson kin for West Virginia, and I want to give them a lot of credit. They're a good football team. They're better than I thought they'd be. Up front, both sides of the ball, they played hard. They're physical. They're going to give Big 12 teams a lot of problems. But, no, there were just some fit issues. You know, one guy that did not play his best game in his first start was Bengali Kamara. You know, he's that overhang outside linebacker. And a lot of times, you know, his job is to, you know, once it's declared run, is to fit back inside, you know, inside that defensive end off the slot. And that's where that ball was bending back. And it was coming out the back door through that backside C gap. And he's got to be able to fit that run, because all flow is strong side, and it was bending back, you know, to that backside C gap where he's got to fit, and he's got to be firm. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a lot of times in that football game. So I think, you know, again, Pitt fans probably noticed that Brandon George didn't play. Hopefully he's on the mend. You know, got a little dinged up in camp, and be interesting when he gets back. He's a veteran guy that's played a lot of football. Servassier Dennis was terrific. I thought Shane Simon made some plays. But you know, with Brandon George back hopefully here soon, you wonder if Servassier can't move around a little bit, because, again, you're going to play a lot of detached, you know, tight end flex teams where you're going to have that same run scheme, that same, you know, kind of RPO bend back inside zone, that if you don't get, you know, a proper fit from that overhang linebacker, it's going to be it'll be a long night for you. And it was a long night for Pitt stopping the run. There were times when they were really good, but that one particular run, especially from that Donaldson kid, was a problem. It was a problem. And I agree on the atmosphere, by the way. It was awesome. But yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to start, was kind of the ugly and the bad of the game, and then go to positive here in a little bit. We'll go back out to the phone line. Steve from Cranberry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I echo what the previous caller said. I've gone to Pitt games, you know, for well over a decade now, and I've never been in an environment in that stadium, Steelers or Pitt, like that. It was just awesome. But my biggest question, I would love to get a quarterback's perspective on this. From a fan's perspective, I thought one of the biggest things in Kenny Pickett's progression from his junior to senior season was just his feel in the pocket. He left a ton of clean pockets, it seemed like, early in his career. And he really, it seemed like, could keep his eyes downfield and kind of sense where that pressure was and move. That's the biggest thing that concerns me, is what I saw with Slovis. There were several times where, whether he stepped up and didn't feel the defender behind him, or was scrambling out and didn't know where the defender was, it seemed like he really just wasn't aware of his surroundings. I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Steve, great question. Thanks for the call. I would agree. I mean, I think of the five sacks, which is part of the ugly in that game, can't happen. And I thought two probably were on the O-line, O-line in the protection unit, and three I think were avoidable. The 14-yard sack is inexcusable, particularly on first and 10. I mean, that is just a critical error. That's a losing play. I would agree that I thought WVU did a great job retracing. I thought they did a great job when he would flush the pocket. They did a great job, you know, getting upfield, rushing past the quarterback, and then doubling back and making plays on him. But he's got to feel that. And I thought at times he flushed the pocket. He flushed the pocket unnecessarily. And they did a good job in coverage. They play a match quarters defense, so sometimes they're going to match you up. But I also thought that, you know, there was a little bit of you know, him having to see it to believe it in that game. Until that last drive, you know, he's at his best. Keaton Slovis is a rhythm passer. You know, Kenny could improvise and make plays, but Kenny turned into more of a rhythm passer later in his career. And I thought he was just a touch late all night. And if you're a touch late, it means you're not only a touch late to your primary receiver, you're going to be even more late to your secondary receiver. And then obviously getting to your check down is going to be even more difficult. And obviously his time clock's got to operate faster. But, you know, for his stat line to be what it was, obviously he avoided a pick that was out of bounds, fortunately. I thought that last drive, that 92-yard drive, was excellent. And I think there's a lot of good football left for Keaton Slovis, and a lot he's going to learn from watching this tape here over this weekend. That's another part of the ugly, and I appreciate this getting teed up with the sacks and really the lack of movement on the offensive line running the ball. I mean, Rodney Hammond was a sixth offensive lineman himself in that game, making plays. I think Frank Cignetti wanted to come out and find if they could pound the football and move West Virginia off the ball. Credit West Virginia, the Stills kid's a great player. They were not able to do that, not consistently, for that matter. But I think Frank Cignetti might have learned a little bit, about this offense, right? Didn't have Carter Johnson in this game. And, he's a guy who's going to make a difference at tight end. Threw out a lot of six, seven offensive line sets trying to impose their will. And, perhaps they found out that maybe they're a little bit more of a two tight end, maybe three wide receiver team than Frank Cignetti thought they could be coming out of camp. I mean, that's something you learn, right? You never know whether your success in camp is all a product of one unit being really good and the other unit being really good too, but just getting beat, or is it deficiencies that align that a strength against a weakness? Because I would not have thought coming out of camp that Pitt's run game wouldn't be effective in this opener, and that Pitt's run defense would be ineffective as well. I thought that was good on good in camp, and it turned out to be a bugaboo in that opener against West Virginia. So run defense, run offense, and pass protection were a concern, for me in that game, coming out of that game. And I think there are a lot of parties that are culpable for that. As you look at the tape, and including the quarterback, and there were some miscues, some alignment issues, some first game stuff that you're going to have. I mean, guys running the same route, landmark problems on deep balls. There's one or two. I mean, the deep ball to Mumpfield, Keaton had to get, this is what people tend not to see, Keaton had to get that ball up early. He got smacked off of play action. And that ball drops 4 yards from Mumpfield, running under it for a touchdown. And then Bub Means had a deep ball that was right in his hands. But again, if you notice the detail of it, he's running a post, and his angle's a little bit flatter than where Slovis throws the ball. So he's got to kind of track it over his left shoulder. He's running from left to right on a deep post, and he's got to reroute a little bit over his left shoulder. That makes it a very difficult catch, as opposed to having a higher angle and coming flatter, meeting the ball, and going with your momentum. So again, little details that can be big problems when you're trying to beat a good football team, which West Virginia was. Another, just continuing this, again, love your calls, 412-928-9037. Another issue was, I thought the block punt was a disaster. And for the most part, I mean, Vanderhaar, he's a freshman. I know he's 25 years old. He kicks with both feet. There's a lot of appeal and intrigue there. For the most part, I thought he was fine. I mean, this is not going to be the prettiest punt in the world, guys. It's not going to be that. It's a rugby style kick that's going to go end over end. But that's how he was brought up. That's what a lot of teams do. When you watch games today, watch it. You're going to see 50-50, maybe 60-40 rugby punt. But that block punt, you watch it. He took an extra step, which Coach Narduzzi talked about after the game as being a, artificial hang time. He can kind of feel the rush. And there were only three guys rushing there. Only three guys rushing. And they had five in the block. So obviously there was a protection problem. But he got to feel that and get that ball out of there. And it creates a kick-in touchdown on a block punt to start the second half. I mean, that's one of the momentum swings that's easily avoidable coming out of halftime. Again, you're punting the football, but it's a 10-10 game at that point. And all of a sudden, you spot him seven just like that, and the momentum just flips in the entire place. So there's critical errors like that against a good Tennessee team, which this is a good Tennessee football team coming in next Saturday on September 10th, 3:30 kick at Acrisure Stadium. You can't have that happen. Absolutely can't have that happen, and needs to be improved upon. But again, want to take this first segment to just kind of post-mortem this game, and it's not post-mortem. This isn't a funeral. This is a celebration because it was a win, but this is what's happening down on the south side in the practice facility today. There's some real discussion about what happened and who we are moving from the ugly to the bad, I thought, you know, the ball hit the ground too much in the game. You know, obviously the Bub Means fumble. Terrific play, you know, catching that ball and getting upfield, but went to tuck it and just one of those freak deals that happens. Just slipped right out through his left arm. He came back later and made a terrific catch late in the game on the sideline on a contested catch. And again, has an opportunity to be a real big playmaker for this team. But his fumble, Sebo Flemister went in there for one play and hit the ball, hit the ground, and that was really the end of his night. That can't happen. But the Panthers were able on their one fumble that was taken away to get it back. And we'll talk about that in our next segment when we go through the good component of the Pitt West Virginia game and the W, the legendary win that it was. And obviously we can't help but talk about, you know, guys that were dinged up in that game. And obviously Deslon Alexander went out first in that first half and he went right to the tunnel. Looked to be, you know, an arm type of injury, which he's had a shoulder in the past, and we'll see what the deal is with that. A two-time captain, but concerned for him. Obviously, he's a playmaker, a consistent playmaker, and need him there. And then Rodney Hammond exited the game after the targeting call, and looked like, if you watch the replay, looked like he really twisted his ankle up. So we'll hope for a good update on both of them here next week. But we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back here in the next day. We're going to talk about the good. We're going to go positive here. We'll take a look a little bit around the ACC, see what's going on, some big games on today. Talk a little bit about that. We'll take your calls again, 412-928-9370. And then we'll preview the Volunteers in our last segment. You're listening to Panther Insider right here on 93.7 The Fan.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Panther Insider rolls on. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Give us a call, 412-928-9370. We'll recap in the Backyard Brawl, at 38-31 Pitt victory at Acrisure Stadium in front of a record crowd. A record crowd to watch a Pittsburgh sporting event. 70,622 fans packed Acrisure Stadium. And I don't know what was being reported about the split, but I would say it was probably like 73-27. Pitt, West Virginia fans, it was loud. I mean, that's my first good from the game was the crowd. I mean, it was great. It was outstanding. 5 false starts for West Virginia in that game. critical false starts. And Pitt had 1-2, but 5 false starts is that's a home field advantage if I've ever seen one. So kudos to Pitt fans for showing out, and we'll need you next week. Again, a 3:30 kick against Tennessee at Acrisure Stadium on ABC. You better be there in person. The other good I thought in this game was just obviously winning, but the metal, the toughness to come back. I mean, there were 7 lead changes in this game. Momentum was all over the place. It was back and forth, but there were times both teams had an opportunity to take a double-digit lead and didn't. And Pitt found itself with, what, 6 minutes to go? The 92-yard drive to tie the football game. Again, I know Pitt fans, you know, driving around or listening, in our mind's eye, we've seen Pitt lose this game a million times, right? You know, you don't win this game without belief. You don't win this game without solid leadership, a culture of confidence. And I know that sounds cliche because it's in hindsight, but there wasn't a person on that sideline that didn't believe they were going to win. And they found a way to win. And it was in the most, obviously, uncanny way. I mean, that drive, if you look at that last drive for Pitt offensively, I'll bring up the play-by-play here. That last drive for Pitt offensively, again, down 31-24. And they come out. And 6:10 left. 2 rushes. Or completes a pass for 6 yards to Hammond on 2nd down and 8 from the 10-yard line after a 2-yard rush on 1st down. Hammond gets targeted out of bounds and then exits the game. Did not return in the game on that drive. But takes the ball out to the Pitt 31 from the 16-yard line. Slovis completes a ball to Bartholomew, a heck of a combat catch on 1st down. Sets up a 2nd and 1. That play was reviewed. Short rush to Abanacanda up the middle, and then he goes deep left on a comeback route to Mumpfield for a 20-yard gain. And he comes back, flushes the pocket. Mumpfield again for a 14-yard gain. And then he comes down. Pitt's knocking at the door at the 24-yard line. They effectively empty the set by Abanacanda taking a free release and running a little angle route off right tackle and does the rest for a 24-yard touchdown. So again, Slovis is perfect on that drive. Absolutely perfect on that drive. And marches his team down in a mere 3 minutes and ties the football game. And we all know what happened next. But again, all the pocket insecurity at times, the sacks, that was a clean drive from start to finish. A clean drive, clean throws and catches, 2-minute operation, and they go down and tie the football game and do it extremely efficiently. That's a great sign. That's a sign of a winning team. That's a sign of a team that believes. And then there's obviously the next series for West Virginia, which again, you rip off a 14-yard run on 1st down. So, it's a tie football game, 3:41 left. West Virginia's looking to march down the field, and they rip off a 14-yard run on 1st down. The stadium gets quiet fast. And then the pick six happens. And, I mean, Ford Wheaton was outstanding all night. I mean, he had darn near 100 yards receiving. He was excellent. He had 5 combat catches, I think I saw. Fade routes. He was 6'4", NFL body. And this ball just goes right through his hands. I mean, and then Devonshire, I can imagine the adrenaline running through that young man's body. Looked like he was shot out of a cannon coming back. I mean, just fast. And right into that student section, and the place was shaking. But again, that doesn't happen. You don't have that opportunity if you don't go 92 yards on the prior drive. The momentum swing. And then obviously, you look at that play being the play that everyone will remember from that game, that picture of MJ making that play in the end zone, celebrating with his teammates in the student section there. Well, that'll be on the wall somewhere, probably multiple places. But again, to be down 7, come back and go win that game the way they did, and then close it out on the last drive. I mean, West Virginia made some plays again. Can't count how many times Daniels was under duress getting just smoked in the pocket, and the ball just flies up in the air and they catch it. It happened from the 6-yard line or something early in the game. I mean, Pitt was close to getting it. Ended up with three sacks. But, I mean, again, another play that I go back to. They're really the good plays in this game defensively, because there was some poor play defensively. Obviously, the run defense was not good enough. But some plays in this game, you know, Marquez Williams, after the Bub Means fumble, Marquez Williams, they throw a stacked bubble screen, and Marquez Williams, who's not a big guy, takes the blocker and just literally throws him, just bench presses him back into the receiver and pulls his right arm out and rips the football out, recovered by Eric Hallett. Huge play. Huge play. You fumble at that point in time. At that point in time, I think it was a tie football game, or maybe Pitt was down 7. Trying to remember all this. Two fumbles in a row. Yeah, at that point in time, Pitt was down 7-3. That could be a 14-3 game. You force a fumble. After you fumble, you're going to tie the game. You're going to take a lead, rather, 10-7. And fumble, and then two plays later, boom, you get the ball back. Huge, huge play. And you go back to that last drive of the game. And again, your best players, your leaders, have to make plays in those in situations where you need them. West Virginia starts to move the football. He starts to move the football. And it's, what do we got? 1st and 10. I'm going to the Shavassier Dennis sack is where I'm going. Absolutely huge sack by Shavassier Dennis on 1st and 10 at the Pitt 22. 10-yard loss. Shoots a gap, unblocked. Not even sure if it was a call blitz. Just instinct. And corrals Daniels for a 10-yard loss. Again, that comes after on the heels of a 32-yard completion to the tight end. A beautiful throw rolling out to the right. Momentum. Here comes West Virginia coming down to tie the game. Shavassier Dennis makes a play. Absolutely critical moment. And then they come down, and obviously it has to come down to the ball hitting the turf at the end. Which I know Neil Brown protested that, but that ball hit the ground. Talking about this West Virginia game, 412-928-9370. Take your calls here. We'll look ahead here in a minute, but just kind of going the good, the bad, and the ugly, running the gamut of this game. There's so many moments and so much to clean up. Again, I hate to harp on the negative, but, you know, you look at the game and the personal fouls. Baldonado with a taunting foul. I've never in my life seen a defensive cut block, but they called that on Marquez Williams. I think he actually slipped and ended up kind of on the ground, and the guy fell over him or whatever, but that's a 15-yard penalty. There was a 3rd and 7 earlier in the game. There ended up being a defensive delay of game, Pitt shifting at the line of scrimmage, and apparently it was too violent and quick of a movement. They do this a lot, by the way. They move right around when you're going to snap it. And it's certainly, I mean, there's a means to an end there. They're getting to the position they want to be in, but there's also some deception. But 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 2, and they ended up picking it up by the nose of a football. Much different situation, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 2. Another critical moment of the game. So those types of penalties and Pitt in the game in the penalty department was not clean enough. Not clean enough. Have to be cleaner, have to be better. But again, week 1 to week 2, always the biggest improvement for a football team. And to come off a win, and to do that coming off a win against a rival, it sure tastes a lot sweeter. We'll move on, though. We'll talk about, kind of go through the ACC schedule this week. We get a chance to watch some games this Saturday. Virginia Tech went down to Old Dominion for the second time in 4 years last night. Not a great start for the Brent Pry era. A lot of turnovers down there in Blacksburg. And we'll talk about Tennessee. We'll do that when we come back right here on Panther Insider. You're listening to 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Panther Insider. We're closing out this Saturday morning. College football Saturday. And we're going to close out in style with Ron from Whitehall. Ron, how you doing?
I feel that the offense needs to be better. It seems that the game plan was to run, and it became apparent after the first couple series. They can stack the box. You can't be that predictable. You have to keep them off guard. You have to keep defense guessing, and I think that that was a big problem. I don't know all the statistics, but it seemed to me that they ran the ball about 90% of the time on a first down and maybe 60% on second down, and that's not going to do it. You have to be more diversified and have a better game plan than that. Now, I realize it was the first game, but that offense was so generic that it was pathetic.
Ron, thanks for the call. Like I said earlier, I think Frank Cignetti learned a lot about his offensive unit in that game, and what he wanted to do going into the game was see if they could run the football and establish the run. And they tried to put 6 and 7 offensive linemen out there, and it wasn't effective. It wasn't effective until Rodney Hammond went in there, and some of his runs came out of 11 personnel with 3 wide receivers. So I would agree. I think, you know, the personnel groupings, you know, having Carter Johnson back, a true second tight end they can feature in the passing game. I expect this offense to evolve from week one to week two. But obviously, winning the football game, putting up 31 offensive points, surely good enough to win a game. But again, a lot to clean up, a lot to improve upon, and we'll need to do so facing a very good, very, very good Tennessee football team that's, again, looking for revenge and looking in year two for Josh Heupel to take a step as a program in the Southeastern Conference. We got another call. Who we got? Freddie from West Reading. Freddie, how you doing?
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on a great job on Thursday night. We listened to the cast, and it was pretty special to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt.
I love watching Pat Narduzzi in the post game. I think he tells it like it is. I love the fact that he gave it right back to ESPN because the crowd was absolutely incredible. We wish we could have been there.
Well, we'll see you today. Freddie from West Reading, thank you for the call. That's my father-in-law, by the way. How about that? How about him calling into my show? Freddie is what I call him because he's a freeloader. So Freddie the freeloader, he calls me that too. So he does. He's become a Pitt fan, which is tremendous. His name is Bob Reese. He was a heck of a basketball player at Mount St. Mary's. And when I heard Freddie from West Reading, you should see the smile on my face. Let's refocus here. That was good. That was great. Tennessee, the Volunteers. We had another call? Nick, who we got? Jake from Brentwood. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Good morning. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How you doing?
Doing pretty good after that Pitt win, baby. Let's go. Hey, if Pitt gets through this tough test next week, what do you think their chances are of running the tables with that defense? Like you said, I think they're going to be 100% improved. Although, that West Virginia offense, I don't think people are going to give him credit. They're going to have a pretty good year with that quarterback, JT Daniels, and that receiver, Ford. He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Ford Wheaton. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is a big one, I think. I appreciate the call, Jake. Looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, winning that game against West Virginia, I think, obviously makes this game against Tennessee obviously a huge opportunity, but yeah, I mean, you could say it's one you don't have to win, but you'd love to win it. You would love to be 2-0 and have a crack at the top 10. I do think West Virginia is better than anticipated. I watched a little bit of Western Michigan last night. They hung in that game with Michigan State for a long time. The Salopec kid from, I think he went to North Huntington, played at Norwin, actually. Good player. Obviously, they're replacing a lot, lost Sky Moore, but they played tough, you know, in East Lansing, so that'll be no cupcake up in Kalamazoo in 2 weeks. And then you hit off with Rhode Island and then ACC play. So, I mean, you know, Pitt's going to have a chance to win every game they play. Now, whether they're favored next weekend or not, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a home underdog to Tennessee, putting up 59 points against Ball State and an SEC opponent. But you go win that game, I think, again, you're in prime position to make a heck of a run through the month of September and October and get to the meat of the schedule late in November. But again, as we look at the ACC, and again, that's where we're looking ahead a little bit. We look at the ACC. Duke won its opener last night, played Temple, handled them 30-0. So they're off to a better start this season. Again, a new era for them. You look at the games on slated for today. Not a huge test for NC State with East Carolina. East Carolina's not as good as they once were. That game is in East Carolina, in Greenville. That's a noon kickoff. Rutgers at Boston College. Noon kickoff for Phil Jurkovec and the Boston College Eagles. See if they can see how they do without Frank Cignetti. See how Jurkovec does. Hopefully he stays healthy. He's a heck of a player. Big game on ESPNU at noon. North Carolina, App State. App State's really good. A good football team. Consistently ranked. And we'll see what Drake May and the Tar Heels have. You know, they had a little bit of a dogfight with Florida A&M early. And Florida A&M had that was disaster mode for them. They had 20 guys ineligible. A.J. Davis, former Pitt running back, scored in that game. They ended up pulling away late, but we'll see what North Carolina has on the road in Boone, North Carolina, against App State. Tony Elliott era kicks off for UVA. 12:30 kickoff in Charlottesville against Richmond. We'll see Brennan Armstrong back at the helm, see how this offense evolves, and see if they get better defensively. Miami's got Bethune-Cookman at 3:30. And then an ACC matchup, Louisville at Syracuse, at the JMA Wireless Dome. How about that one? JMA Wireless Dome. So, Acrisure doesn't sound too bad now. JMA Wireless Dome, which that's going to be a tough one too, not calling that the Carrier Dome. 8 o'clock kickoff on the ACC Network. Malik Cunningham, see what Louisville has against a Syracuse program under Dino Babers that just hasn't seemed to had that one year, but hasn't seemed to get its sea legs. And then some big games on Sunday and Monday. Florida State at LSU, which the game's not in Baton Rouge. It's in New Orleans at the Caesar Superdome. Florida State, again, big opening win. But the fighting Brian Kellys and his accent open up their season in a neutral site game. And then another neutral site game, Clemson and Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So you would think it's a home game for Georgia Tech. But the Clemson Tigers, the number 4 ranked Clemson Tigers, open up on ESPN on Monday night against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. So we'll see if Clemson's for real. It'd be interesting if they get up in that game to see that young quarterback behind DJ to see if he gets some action, because I think he's a guy that will play this year. They expect DJ to take a step. Certainly that he needs to. He held them back a lot last season. But again, they've got some depth behind him. We'll talk about Pitt, Tennessee now. Again, watch Tennessee play. Watch their game against Ball State. 59-10 victory. They were up 38-0 in that football game. They return a lot. Obviously, it starts with Hendon Hooker, their quarterback. Year two for Josh Heupel. Offensively, what you're going to see is a lot of what West Virginia did, a lot of RPO-type stuff. They're going to spread you from sideline to sideline. They're going to line guys up 3 yards from the sideline, and they're going to try to single you up. They've got some big-play receivers. Cedric Tillman's in the mold of a Bryce Ford Wheaton, 6'3", 215. They're going to throw the ball up to him. They've got two tailbacks back. Jabari Small obviously was a guy that had a great freshman season last year, sophomore season last year. He's back. They returned 4/5 of their offensive line, a group that was experienced last year but gave up 44 sacks, which is a lot of sacks. They got their offensive line back, and again, with Hooker at quarterback, a guy that can throw it and run it. He didn't really run it against Ball State, didn't need to. He gave Pitt a lot of problems in that second half. And that was a game last year that Pitt could have very easily been down 21-0 in that game. I mean, it was between the muff kickoff and block punt and all the things that happened in that game. Kenny Pickett dug him out of a hole. The play in the end zone to Melky Stovall in the back of the end zone to get that game back within reach. And then he just made play after play. Jared Wayne down the middle of the field. Very similar running catch to what happened the other night. That guy continues to make plays. But is Keaton Slovis going to be able to carry that torch? Because he's going to have to play well. They're going to have to throw the ball more than 24 times. They attempted 29 passes. He was sacked 5 times. So the run-pass breakdown was actually more even than the stats would indicate. Chris Peak put that out very, very smartly. Those stats get warped by the sack. Sacks going as rushes. But, man, I don't think you're going to be able to line up with 6'7 offensive linemen and move these 6'4, 6'5, 325-pound defensive tackles for Tennessee. I mean, they've got some big dudes in there. They got some Reggie White-looking guys. Now, they're not Reggie White, but they look like him. They're talented, and they're athletic. That's SEC football. So you're going to have to spread it around. You're going to have to be, I think, a little bit more diversified in your approach to move the football down the field. Still got to run it, but may run it a couple different ways and try to spread guys out a little bit and create a little bit more of a cleaner look for Israel Abanikanda to run the football. But Slovis is going to have to be on point because that's what it's going to take to win this game. I'm excited about this one. I think, you know, this is you measure a team right from week one to week two is supposed to be the biggest improvement, but you have to also take into account who they're playing. These are two Power Five teams. I think a West Virginia team that's better than people gave them credit for. And I hope that bears out moving forward because they, again, had every right to compete and win that game on Thursday night. But moving on to, I think, a better football team in Tennessee. And I can promise you this, my one prediction for this game is if it starts like it did last year, Pitt's going to have a hard time winning the game. They don't have the firepower, at least I haven't seen it yet, that was in that offense last year in the passing game. And I think I think they'd like to win this game a little bit differently this year. And to get into a shootout would be not the style they want to play, but I think they could be capable of keeping up. But it's going to be important to get Slovis into a rhythm early and keep that defensive line for Tennessee at bay and keep them on their heels. But we'll look forward to that game. I'll be on the air 8 to 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We'll have some Tennessee guests preview the game. Panther Insider will be live next Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. Kickoff again, 3:30. We'll be on pregame at 11:30. This is Pat Bostick for 93.7 The Fan.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Panther Insider. We're closing out this Saturday morning. College football Saturday, and we're going to close out in style with Ron from Whitehall. Ron, how you doing?
I feel that the offense needs to be better. It seems that the game plan was to run, and it became apparent after the first couple series. They can stack the box. You can't be that predictable. You have to keep them off guard. You have to keep the defense guessing, and I think that that was a big problem. I don't know all the statistics, but it seemed to me that they ran the ball about 90% of the time in the first down and maybe 60% on second down, and that's not going to do it. You have to be more diversified and have a better game plan than that. Now, I realize it was the first game, but that offense was so generic that it was pathetic.
Ron, thanks for the call. Like I said earlier, I think Frank Cignetti learned a lot about his offensive unit in that game, and what he wanted to do going into the game was see if they could run the football and establish the run. And they tried to put 6 and 7 offensive linemen out there, and it wasn't effective. It wasn't effective until Rodney Hammond went in there, and some of his runs came out of 11 personnel with 3 wide receivers. So I would agree. I think, you know, the personnel groupings, you know, having Carter Johnson back, a true second tight end they can feature in the passing game. I expect this offense to evolve from week 1 to week 2. But obviously, winning the football game, putting up 31 offensive points, surely good enough to win a game. But again, a lot to clean up, a lot to improve upon, and we'll need to do so facing a very good, very, very good Tennessee football team that's, again, looking for revenge and looking in year 2 for Josh Heupel to take a step as a program in the Southeastern Conference. We got another call. Who we got? Freddie from West Reading. Freddie, how you doing?
Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on a great job on Thursday night. We listened to the cast, and it was pretty special to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt.
I love watching Pat Narduzzi in the post game. I think he tells it like it is. I love the fact that he gave it right back to ESPN because the crowd was absolutely incredible. We wish we could have been there.
Well, we'll see you today. Freddie from West Reading, thank you for the call. That's my father-in-law, by the way. How about that? How about him calling into my show? Freddie is what I call him because he's a freeloader. So Freddie the freeloader, he calls me that too. So he does. He's become a Pitt fan, which is tremendous. His name is Bob Reese. He was a heck of a basketball player at Mount St. Mary's. And when I heard Freddie from West Reading, you should see the smile on my face. Let's refocus here. That was good. That was great. Tennessee, the Volunteers. We got another call? Nick, who we got? Jake from Brentwood. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Good morning. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How you doing?
Doing pretty good after that Pitt win, baby. Let's go. Hey, if Pitt gets through this tough test next week, what do you think their chances are of running the tables with that defense? Like you said, I think they're going to be 100% improved. Although, that West Virginia offense, I don't think people are going to give him credit. They're going to have a pretty good year with that quarterback, JT Daniels, and that receiver, Ford. He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, Ford Wheaton. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is a big one, I think. I appreciate the call, Jake. Looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, winning that game against West Virginia, I think, obviously makes this game against Tennessee obviously a huge opportunity, but yeah, I mean, you could say it's one you don't have to win, but you'd love to win it. You would love to be 2-0 and have a crack at the top 10. I do think West Virginia is better than anticipated. I watched a little bit of Western Michigan last night. They hung in that game with Michigan State for a long time. The Salopek kid from, I think he went to North Huntington, played at Norwin, actually. Good player. Obviously, they're replacing a lot, lost Sky Moore, but they played tough, you know, in East Lansing, so that'll be no cupcake up in Kalamazoo in 2 weeks. And then you hit off with Rhode Island and then ACC play. So, I mean, you know, Pitt's going to have a chance to win every game they play. Now, whether they're favored next weekend or not, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a home underdog to Tennessee, putting up 59 points against Ball State and an SEC opponent. But you go win that game, I think, again, you're in prime position to make a heck of a run through the month of September and October and get to the meat of the schedule late in November. But again, as we look at the ACC, and again, that's where we're looking ahead a little bit. We look at the ACC. Duke won its opener last night, played Temple, handled them 30-0. So they're off to a better start this season. Again, a new era for them. You look at the games on slated for today. Not a huge test for NC State with East Carolina. East Carolina's not as good as they once were. That game is in East Carolina, in Greenville. That's a noon kickoff. Rutgers at Boston College. Noon kickoff for Phil Dracovic and the Boston College Eagles. See if they can see how they do without Frank Cignetti. See how Dracovic does. Hopefully he stays healthy. He's a heck of a player. Big game on ESPNU at noon. North Carolina, App State. App State's really good. A good football team. Consistently ranked. And we'll see what Drake May and the Tar Heels have. You know, they had a little bit of a dogfight with Florida A&M early. And Florida A&M had that was disaster mode for them. They had 20 guys ineligible. A.J. Davis, former Pitt running back, scored in that game. They ended up pulling away late, but we'll see what North Carolina has on the road in Boone, North Carolina, against App State. Tony Elliott era kicks off for UVA. 12:30 kickoff in Charlottesville against Richmond. We'll see Brennan Armstrong back at the helm, see how this offense evolves, and see if they get better defensively. Miami's got Bethune-Cookman at 3:30. And then an ACC matchup, Louisville at Syracuse, at the JMA Wireless Dome. How about that one? JMA Wireless Dome. So, Acrisure doesn't sound too bad now. JMA Wireless Dome, which that's going to be a tough one too, not calling that the Carrier Dome. 8 o'clock kickoff on the ACC Network. Malik Cunningham. See what Louisville has against a Syracuse program under Dino Babers that just hasn't seemed to had that one year, but hasn't seemed to get its sea legs. And then some big games on Sunday and Monday. Florida State at LSU, which the game's not in Baton Rouge. It's in New Orleans at the Caesar Superdome. Florida State, again, big opening win. But the fighting Brian Kellys and his accent open up their season in a neutral site game. And then another neutral site game, Clemson and Georgia Tech in Atlanta. So you would think it's a home game for Georgia Tech. But the Clemson Tigers, the number 4 ranked Clemson Tigers, open up on ESPN on Monday night against the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. So we'll see if Clemson's for real. It'd be interesting if they get up in that game to see that young quarterback behind DJ to see if he gets some action, because I think he's a guy that will play this year. They expect DJ to take a step. Certainly he needs to. He held them back a lot last season. But again, they've got some depth behind him. We'll talk about Pitt, Tennessee now. Again, watch Tennessee play. Watch their game against Ball State. 59-10 victory. They were up 38-0 in that football game. They return a lot. Obviously, it starts with Hendon Hooker, their quarterback. Year two for Josh Heupel. Offensively, what you're going to see is a lot of what West Virginia did, a lot of RPO-type stuff. They're going to spread you from sideline to sideline. They're going to line guys up 3 yards from the sideline, and they're going to try to single you up. They've got some big play receivers. Cedric Tillman's in the mold of a Bryce Ford Wheaton, 6'3", 215. They're going to throw the ball up to him. They've got two tailbacks back. Jabari Small obviously was a guy that had a great freshman season last year, or sophomore season last year. He's back. They returned 4/5 of their offensive line, a group that was experienced last year but gave up 44 sacks, which is a lot of sacks. They got their offensive line back, and again, with Hooker at quarterback, a guy that can throw it and run it. He didn't really run it against Ball State, didn't need to. He gave Pitt a lot of problems in that second half. And that was a game last year that Pitt could have very easily been down 21-0 in that game. I mean, it was between the muff kickoff and block punt and all the things that happened in that game. Kenny Pickett dug him out of a hole. The play in the end zone to Melky Stovall in the back of the end zone to get that game back within reach, and then he just made play after play. Jared Wayne down the middle of the field, very similar running catch to what happened the other night. That guy continues to make plays. But is Keaton Slovis going to be able to carry that torch? Because he's going to have to play well. They're going to have to throw the ball more than 24 times. They attempted 29 passes. He was sacked 5 times. So the run-pass breakdown was actually more even than the stats would indicate. Chris Peak put that out very, very smartly. Those stats get warped by the sacks going as rushes. But, man, I don't think you're going to be able to line up with 6'7 offensive linemen and move these 6'4, 6'5, 325-pound defensive tackles for Tennessee. I mean, they've got some big dudes in there. They got some Reggie White-looking guys. Now, they're not Reggie White, but they look like him. They're talented, and they're athletic. That's SEC football. So you're going to have to spread it around. You're going to have to be, I think, a little bit more diversified in your approach to move the football down the field. Still got to run it, but may run it a couple different ways and try to spread guys out a little bit and create a little bit more of a cleaner look for Israel Abanikanda to run the football. But Slovis is going to have to be on point because that's what's going to take to win this game. I'm excited about this one. I think, you know, this is a, you measure a team right from week one to week two is supposed to be the biggest improvement, but you know, you have to also take into account who they're playing. These are two Power Five teams. I think a West Virginia team that's better than people gave them credit for. And I hope that bears out moving forward because they again had every right to compete and win that game on Thursday night. But moving on to, I think, a better football team in Tennessee. And I can promise you this, my one prediction for this game is if it starts like it did last year, Pitt's going to have a hard time winning the game. They don't have the firepower, at least I haven't seen it yet, that was in that offense last year in the passing game. And I think I think they'd like to win this game a little bit differently this year, and to get into a shootout would be not the style they want to play, but I think they could be capable of keeping up. But it's going to be important to get Slovis into a rhythm early and keep that defensive line for Tennessee at bay and keep them on their heels. But we'll look forward to that game. I'll be on the air 8 to 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We'll have some Tennessee guests preview the game. Panther Insider will be live next Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. Kickoff again, 3:30. We'll be on pregame at 11:30. This is Pat Bostick for 93.7 The Fan.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.